Here we go, world. Episode 2, Fatherhood Project. With my man, Calvet. What's up, baby?
Man, we right back at it, man. I'm excited. Got a lot of dope reviews, comments, suggestions. We appreciate everything. We want to say thank you for all the comments and suggestions just to give us the props on putting the show together. And the feedback's been tremendous. Hopefully, show 2. We show improve and give you some more content and talk about all the up-to-date things that we got going on in our lives and in the world.
Yeah, man, definitely want to give a shout-out to everybody that said anything. Before we even get started with this new episode, we're going to, you know, shout-out a lot of people right now. Definitely want to shout-out my wife, Kiana, for all this. Shout-out Tahira for her input as well. Definitely shout out other podcasts that's out here doing their thing. So, you know, if you ain't check out Real Therapists for the Culture yet, definitely. Oh,
yeah. Check out our sisters, man. They
check doing check them out. They doing their thing. They definitely dropping gems like a bad diamond thief out here. Yeah. They getting busy, for real. And so I got a podcast, a friend of mine out in Philly, Sipping with Sammy. You know, check him out. You know, another Morgan guy. Mm. Shout out to him. Shout out to everybody just doing their thing regardless, man.
Yep.
But yeah, man, we, you know, school starting.
Yeah, it
for
is.
For a lot of these fathers and their kids out here. So you being the educator that you are.
Yeah.
Like, what are some other tips that you would give to these fathers, especially when it comes to kids going back to school?
So I would definitely say, I mean, just first and foremost, you know, my kids aren't old enough going to school yet for me to have those conversations. But I think it's like, you know, the day before, the night before, whatever the case is, or even on a car ride to school, if that even is a situation, or you're on public transportation, just have a conversation with your kid. Like, you know, go in there, do what you need to do, have fun, enjoy it. You know, if you don't know what's being said to you or you have questions, ask. Like, I think the biggest thing is being really transparent as a parent to your child, because at the end of the day, they spend 8 hours a day inside of a classroom or a school building with educators. And you also have to keep in mind, these same educators are either parents themselves or not. And, you know, we all look at parenting different, no matter whether it be cultural, gender, like no matter what, we all look at it different. So I think as a father, you have to look at it from the aspect of, all right, am I saying something to my child that's going to help them have a productive day? Or am I lifting their spirits up? Or am I coming at them like, don't you go in there and fuck up because I'm going to beat your ass? Like, those are the things that you got to, it comes from so many different levels. Like, you know your kid. Yeah, so when you know your kid, you say certain things, you know? And I think as parents, we have to change the psychology on how we look at things or how we view our children. Because it's like, you know your kid is bad. You can't just go with the, I got to tumble with his ass or with her
ass. Yeah. You can't go with the James Evans approach.
Nah, not all day. And on top of that, I think the biggest piece is, too, that you have to look at is like, all right, think about how your parents talked to you.
Yeah.
What was that like? And then how were you as a student in school?
Right.
So, you know, regardless if your father wasn't there or your mother was there, it was someone who told you what to do when you get to school or what.
Yeah, like me being a student in school, I really didn't want no problems with my with my mother or my father, for real. Like, my mother, she's the silent assassin type. Like, she the type that she'll play it so cool, she won't let no anger get to her in the public, but in that car ride home, especially, you know. And I used to be trying to be slick and sit on the passenger backside so my mother couldn't reach.
So she couldn't reach. So she couldn't get in your knees.
Yeah, so she couldn't get my knees or nothing. But, yo, my mother would do stuff like put on a brake just so I can inch up.
And
then she had jab me. And then, you know, hit me with the whole view. Listen, you know.
Shout out to moms for that one. That's a new move. I might have to steal years down the line.
And then she would hit me with the whole, like, she would say something, but her teeth would clench together. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But that whole time, she was cussing me out the whole time. And then it always ended it with, wait till I tell your father. And I was like, shit. So I'm already fried.
So what's some of the, what? Well, let's take it from that perspective, right? So Morgan's your oldest.
Right.
Has
right.
there ever been a time or a point where you've had to say something to her prior, knowing like she's had an incident at school or something has happened and you had to check her?
Yeah, I had to, not necessarily check her. She's considered one of the smart kids in the school, and you know she, when I go in there, everybody be saying hi to her. They always say hi, Morgan, Dad, mm-hmm. or this, that, and the fourth. So, she did something, and you know, me and Kiana's approach is different. I'm more Iron Fist.
There we go.
You know what I'm saying? And Kiana be Iron Fist once she acquires all the information. I'm Got Iron it. Fist
off the break
because I'm here. I heard you did something wrong. Now I gotta flex because I taught you better than that. So we had an incident with the phone and shit. Mm. And
for the people, what grade is Morgan in now?
She in the fifth. Mm. So she was talking to one of her friends, and I told her from the break, like, we gonna make sure you're not doing nothing stupid on the phone. Mm. And she sends a couple of texts, and it wasn't, you could tell she don't know how to text and shit, and just the shit she was saying, it was just so off the wall. But when I confronted her about it, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, you know what I mean? Like, I'm mad. You know, I'm mad about it because what she said, it was like, first of all, you lying. You know what I'm saying? Like, why the fuck is you lying to get approval from anybody and shit? And she was trying to make it seem like ain't nobody really like her. You know, they was kind of, in the essence, kind of teasing her or whatever. And I remember my response to that was, in typical Sunny fashion, I was like, man, yo, fuck them kids. Like, fuck them little niggas for real. Like, don't, you can't get, you never let them take you out your game. Yeah. Like, if you smart, you on the dean's list, and they say shit like, oh, you too smart to hang with them, then fucking leave them dumbass niggas alone then.
Yeah, I feel you.
You know what I'm saying? But of course, that's me saying it like that.
She gotta learn it.
Would rub my wife the wrong way because she like, how you gonna talk about somebody else's kid like that? Easy. The same way they talk about my kid. What the fuck? Like, it ain't, I'm not gonna discriminate on that. So I mean, I had to tell her like, look, man, you smart. You don't worry about none of that. All you worry about going to school. Anything else inside the household, anything besides that, you let me handle that. And if I need help, I'm gonna holler at God about it. But you just go to school and you just do what you need to do. I got you on everything else. Me and your mother, you got a whole village. You got a whole lot of people that's rooting for you. So you ain't never got to worry about nothing. You don't have to worry about shit. So don't even let nobody get you out your game on that. So, I mean, that's the most recent would be with Morgan. Like, Reed and Hannah, you know,
they still pretty young.
First grade, kindergarten. So it's kind of like little shit like, you know, Reed, he didn't listen, you know what I mean? Or he was talking while he was talking to his friend. So it's like, you know, once he get a friend, he's not even thinking like, yo,
got it.
I got to do this, do that. But at the same time, but I mean, with Morgan, like, it's not going to be the first time. And damn sure not going to be the last time.
Yeah. You got time, man, on your hands.
And that's why this fatherhood project is essential, because we ain't coming here like we gurus and shit, you know what I mean? Like, we, you know what I mean?
Listen, my 18-month-old bit somebody at school, and I heard about it, and I just was like, she bit somebody? And I'm like, what do you mean she bit somebody? Like, well, she bit him, and then she gave him a hug right after. I was like, oh, so she's a Sour Patch. She out here fucking people up and then, you know, giving them hugs and shit. Like, oh, make you feel better. Like, did somebody tell her you can't do that? Like, and, you know, I know my wife said something. I said something. But it's just one of those things. Like, she's 18 months. Like, what is she really getting? Like, she's...
It's not like she's going to tell you, bit him. Exactly.
Like, I bit him.
I bit him because yo was talking shit.
But Pete...
So I had to...
You know what I mean? I asked the teacher. I said, so, yo, why did she bite him? She said, you know, well, she's used to Nehemiah. And I said, oh, once I already knew when she said she's used to Nehemiah, I already knew what it was. I was like, it was a toy, wasn't it? She's like, yeah. You know, he had a toy. He didn't give it up fast enough. So...
she got crazy and she just bit him. And I was like, yeah, see, she used to taking things from Nehemiah. Genesis is a thug with it, but it's crazy because it's like, I love you to death, but you can't just be wilding out on people, baby girl. It's crazy. Yeah. But yeah, man, this the fatherhood project, once again, the things that we go through. To switch gears, I found something on social media and I sent it to Sunny and it was just crazy to me. Husband and wife just had a newborn baby delivered in a hospital and the police were called on them to kick them out the fucking hospital.
I don't know if you talk about a buzzkill, shorty. Like you as a woman just did
something. However many hours of labor.
How many hours of labor?
Whether it was a C-section, like, yo, whatever the case it was
listen, I've seen my wife get a C-section before, and when you start seeing smoke and shit coming out because of the burning flesh and all that shit, all you could do is salute your women for even going through that type of shit. So for that moment to be superseded with
police,
fucking police.
Yeah.
And when I saw the tape, when you showed me, man.
It was a disagreement. So the back end of the story is the husband and wife had a disagreement with the head nurse or their nurse and asked for the nurse to leave or be switched. The nurse leaves and then proceeds to come back with police saying they need to leave the hospital.
But that shit was all over a breast pump, my nigga. Yeah. I was talking to my wife about that before we even brought this up today, right? And she said, like, look, if I want to breastfeed my kid on the... They ask you as soon as you give birth.
Are you breastfeeding
or you bottle? Yeah. And then, you know, they say if you don't have a breast pump to go home with you, they give it to you. Through your insurance, they give it to you. Now, whether or not they had insurance or not, I'm not sure. We ain't get the whole escape on that. Yeah. But the fact, if I'm the head nurse and my patient wants the breast pump, where did they come across where they can even argue that down? Like, did they have a medical condition? Did she have what they call thrush or something? Like, what?
Listen.
You know what I'm saying? But either way, but still.
Absolutely.
If you want to breastfeed, you should breastfeed.
So like we talked about, right? My thing is, it could have been religious beliefs.
Right.
Just, you know what? We're making a decision for our kid, our family right now, no matter what. Like, maybe, yes, we checked the box and said we were going to breastfeed. But now we're asking for a breast pump. Why is that an argument which leads to a complaint which then leads to the police?
I think that's the thing that bothered me the most. Like, yo, like, once again, like we said in episode one, don't let your job title supersede your earth title, yo. Like, I get you a head nurse and all that. You got your credentials and all that, but you human like the rest of us, you know what I'm saying? So if I want something for my child, yeah, you may have your opinion on it, but
it doesn't work.
It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I make the final decision. Absolutely. I know, and first of all, we all know who your ultimate help come from. That's from your creator, whatever your creator is. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So if you are at the point where you having a disagreement and we want a different nurse, I got every right to do that. Yeah. Because we've seen, it's been proven that African-American women do not get the best care in the hospital.
Or respect. Forget just care, respect. Like, it's to talk about the respect part and the care part, let's break that up. Because let's be 100% honest.
Of course.
Like, when we talk about care, I mean, right now we look at it, and weeks ago, we're still talking about this video. This woman literally just gave birth. Husband has child in hand. She is just in a gown walking up and down the hallway. And then they ask her to leave, and they say, we're going to leave. Let us change. The care for another woman or a nurse in the hallway, whoever, to say, let them get changed, like give them that opportunity.
Right.
Out of respect, they didn't do that. The care of whatever situation disagreement that they had, it should supersede everything else. Like, you know what? The white
police officers who were at that door should have
all five of them
no respect to this woman to at least change her clothes. So for
they was with the shits for no reason though, because it's like, why are you, first of all, you're not five hospital cops. They look like fucking troopers.
So they sure enough did. They look like they came off of the fucking I-95 and was ready to lock her up.
But
like
that's what I'm saying. But they already had the gun. They was, the guns was drawn. So this, so like, so can you imagine? You about to, you just gave birth, so you at your zenith when it comes to happiness. Over, just for it to be overshadowed with hatred.
Yeah.
Disrespect and just disregard for human life. So you got five white guys with guns trying to tell you, you got to leave the hospital. And as a husband, as a father, you look, at that moment, I'm prepared for whatever. So if that means my, if that means my untimely demise to defend my wife and newborn kid, then that's what I'm going to have to do. But you're not going to disrespect my wife. Cause for, like I've been in the hospital room 4 times in 9 years. I know the shit that my wife went through just even trying to use the bathroom. They got that big ass pad on and shit. Like, they definitely not feeling they sexiest because they just gave birth. So they just brought another life to the world and you trying to put me out. But not only you trying to put me out, you ain't even trying to let me fucking change. Like, yo, like, if you look at this video, they, every time the husband tries to close the door,
they put cop their foot
puts in the foot in there and tried to make them, tried to make the lady change
with the door halfway
with open. The door halfway open.
At the end of the day,
like, no, fuck that. Like, I'm glad it didn't end in the way that we've seen it end with somebody done. But in that case, like, yo, you gotta turn into Leonidas from 300 and be ready to rumble. Listen, because that's just shit you just cannot do.
Everybody has to get sued.
Everybody.
The hospital.
The nurse.
That nurse directly. Oh,
she got to get fired. The head
doctor. Like, I'm coming for everybody. I'm police who came to the door.
That hospital need to be named after me the end of that shit.
That's like, what I was thinking in my head. Like, head, this, dog. Is, like, this yo, is crazy, man.
Yo, but that's like, it's no reason why case after case. This is just further evidence that we just living in two Americas, man.
Oh,
it's
absolutely,
just it's just
man.
The bottom line. I'm getting tired of motherfuckers trying to make it seem like it's only one. No, it's not. No, it's not. And then you got the, you know what I mean, everybody want to have that extra battery in their back till shit get real.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then niggas start bitching.
You got to, and I mean, for newborn fathers, like, you can talk about it, you know, send us in the information if there was anything that went wrong while you at the hospital that first time, or if it's your fifth time going to the hospital.
Yeah,
and if there
was anything,
send us that information. Like, let us hear what happened, because at the end of the day, it's things like this for newborn fathers that, you know, that are about to have kids, that need to know, like, yo, what are some of the things I need to know going into this hospital day one? Because honestly, no one told me what was going to happen once you got to the hospital. Everybody said, yo, make sure you got your bag ready.
Right, that's it. Yeah,
no one gave me the, like, yo, when you get in the hospital, vet, this is what's going to happen.
Right.
This is what's going to happen day one, day two, day three. Oh, she get a C-section, a natural birth.
Like,
listen, brothers, we got to start talking to each other about this, because at the end of the day, it's important. Like, I knew nothing, but I was texting my boys who had kids, like, yo, what do I do now? This just happened. Or, yo, they talking about this. And, you know, lo and behold, my wife had, you know, some good sisters who've been through it, or some doctors who can give her that advice. We had a cousin who was a nurse. So still at the end of the day, though, we need to be educated. We still need to know about these things, and we need to make it happen.
Yo, I mean, it's just a, like we said, like, this is not a game for the faint of heart at all. Prayerfully, that situation gets resolved amicably, but it's just another blemish on why the America we lived in is so fucked up to the point where you can't even have a baby in peace now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why should it ever come to that point where you take my joy away to the point where now I am fearing for my life, but at the same time, I gotta protect
my wife and newborn at the same time. So whatever happened to me gonna happen, but it should never, like, when do people just start using common sense? Like, what did the nurse say to
make common sense ain't common, man?
But what could a nurse say to make five motherfuckers come up there, guns drawn, ready to go? Like, and then you think about it, if they cops 9 times out of 10, they might be fathers as well. So you mean to tell me if you was in that man's shoes and you just had a baby and I come to you with my gun and I say, yo, you and your white ass wife, get your pasty ass titties on the fuck out of here, pad and all. You mean to tell me you just gonna stand there? Yo, nah, you gonna go to war just like I'm prepared to go to war.
Like you just said, man, some people believe in their work title being higher than their earth title. Yeah, so boy, at the end of the day, when I'm clocking in, my mindset is work versus family, you know, it's if I'm putting myself in somebody else's shoes. Yeah. Like, that's how I gotta think. But at the end of the day, how many times do you put yourself in someone else's shoes when you at work? Think about that.
I mean, I do that a lot, especially when it comes to decision making, because of the job that I have, some of the decisions that I make is crucial. Like in previous jobs I had, I was dealing with the water infrastructure for all of Baltimore City. So my job was to make sure close to the 2 million Baltimore City residents we got get clean water. So when I made a decision, it was never about me. It was about
other people.
So when I make that decision, I think of like, okay, so how would it affect this project manager, or how would this affect? Because if something go wrong, they going straight to the mayor. So how the mayor going to hit that? Like, how my director going to hit that? You know what I'm saying? So I never, because that's my thing. I'm never the guy where I'm not better than you, but you're not better than me either. You know what I'm saying? So it's like we both can learn from each other. So all this, I'm senior this or I'm this, don't mean shit when it ain't your own company. That's, you know, true, what I'm saying? Man. So it's plenty of people right now that be CEOs and they be getting fucking fired for doing dumb shit. So that's why I never let the job title, like, gas me. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, for somebody that's been fired before, been laid off before, like, that don't tickle my fancy. Like, yeah, I worked hard. I went to school 8-9 years to get the title that I got, but that don't make me no better than nobody else. And but a lot of people do that, and I think they some bitch ass niggas, sucker ass niggas for that.
And I feel you on that one. I mean, for me, it's like there are times where I don't want to put myself in somebody else's shoes. And here's why. I don't want to put myself in your shoes because I don't want to one, misguide my thought process on how I think you would be in this situation.
True.
Because I can never put... I don't want anyone to try to put themselves in my shoes. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a situation where... And specifically speaking to the hospital situation, like, I felt like that was something where it's like, hey, you were called as a police officer, do your job, do your duty. And they could have thought, like fathers. They could have. Right. But at the end of the day, that wasn't their mentality.
No, their mentality was the flex.
Exactly. But for me, it's like... I don't want to do that because I'm looking at the situation two-sided, right? I can agree wholeheartedly. Everybody else in that situation was wrong, and they were right. The mother, the father, and the newborn were in the right. But when I look at it, I'm like, if I'm in my workplace and I got a job to do, and it's going to affect my family, myself, and I don't do it, then I got to play. I can't put myself in your shoes now. You know? And this is the reality of it. Like say, I'm doing something. I know this is fucked up to you. But at the end of the day, if I don't do it, then my family hurts. My family suffers.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think I understand. Yeah, I understand your sentiment on that. I think what it also depends on the position. Like, for example, with a cop. In that situation, like, if I don't pose no threat to you, why is the gun automatically drawn? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like what preempts you to say, okay, husband and wife just had a baby. They were called because of a disagreement. Because you notice the nurse isn't there that says,
oh, of course not.
This is
you know, but you know why.
Of course.
You know why.
Of course.
Because
look, I don't want them to know I called the cops.
Right, you but that, that's what I'm saying. So that's that. And then also, when because of a cop coming at me and they say somebody said X, Y, and Z, I'm going to say, well, what did that person say? Matter of fact, bring that source. Yeah, man, like we were saying, like, what did that person say, man? Like, because once you get cops involved, today's cop, unfortunately, plays the role of judge, jury, executioner. And unfortunately, they do a lot more execution than they do judging and jury. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm at the hospital, my wife just gave a baby, just had a baby, I got five cops coming at me with their gun drawn saying I did something wild. I want to know, sir, who said I did something wild? Like, give me the opportunity to explain myself and then, you know what I'm saying? Because first and foremost, if I see any five people, I don't care what your race is, with guns drawn, that's not the time to play Rambo for real. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be like, look, this is what happened, this, that, and the fourth. It should be able to be resolved amicably, but today that don't end that way. So prayerfully, it did end that way for this couple. And like I said, hopefully that hospital get renamed after them after they sue the shit out of them.
For me, it's just like, where were the higher ups in the hospital? Like, because as black people, we also need to know who we need to call in certain situations.
Yes,
like,
yes, indeed. Know, yeah,
they
call
the cops. We need to speak to the higher ups in the hospital because there has to be some type of empathy for these people walking. One, just having a baby, and then they're being walked out or pushed out by police officers, regardless of what's going on with the situation. It's like, you're telling me I just had a baby, and because of a disagreement, I need to leave? Whether he was being disrespectful, he was making threats, like, let the husband leave, not the wife. Like,
yeah, say that. Because, I mean, when you think about it, what if the baby needed to stay?
Listen, the baby could have walked out the hospital doors and died.
Exactly.
And that would have been something on them. And for me, it's like, as the husband, I
would have just dipped if it got serious. And that,
but no, I felt like it was already that serious.
Yeah.
When he started walking down the hall and he was holding his phone recording, yeah. I was like, man, listen, we already done seen too many things happen where people are on camera, on social media. Like, this could be all bad. And as I'm watching, I'm like, man, please don't get crazy. And then even when they went into the hospital door, I'm like, yo, bro, stop closing the door on his foot. Like, cops, stop putting your foot in the door. Like, all the things that, you know, you would say, like, when you're watching a movie, like, yo, don't go in there, B. Like,
in my mind. Definitely scary. That shit was definitely a scary movie.
That shit was alive,
in living color, scary ass movie.
Because
that shit could have gotten severely ugly. It could have turned into
me slamming the door on his foot and gun, boom. Right. Like, you just never know. Like, and I'm not putting anything on the cops. I'm not putting anything on this man. But the way society and the way things have been happening you have to be extra careful no matter what. And for me, it's one of them scenarios where I'm thinking 10 steps ahead every time or not reacting, because when you react quickly or you don't think about everything that can happen, it's like, yo, it's split the second decisions. Like, it's life threatening.
Yeah, man, it's life threatening, and it's one of those things where it's just wild to me that these cops get trained to how to de-escalate situations, but they don't be never de-escalating shit. And then it's like, they get trained to do that, yet they want me, that's not trained, to think with a split second and a split second move, yet these people getting trained to do that and they still not doing what they, you know what I'm saying? But that's, like I said, if you don't listen to nothing else on any of these podcasts we ever do, yo, there's one statement here. Your job title does not supersede your IRF title, man. Etch that in your head and leave that shit going. But like you said, since there is a new father and everything, we both got new fathers. Matter of fact, my son just turned one yesterday.
Happy birthday, Joe.
That shit is crazy. Also, if you wanna reach out to us, man, yo, Fatherhood Project 101. That's all one word, Fatherhood Project 101 at gmail.com, man. Yo, hit us with your stories. Hit us with, you know, feedback, whatever, man, so we can keep this podcast on the up and up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And keep improving. We appreciate all that. But it was a question that actually your wife asked a while back. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
What and she done came up with?
Nah, it was some real shit. I mean, it was a simple question, but we could just elaborate so long on it. That's why we could just... Oh, no, before we do that, remind me, go back to that. Yo, speaking of the shit, current event shit, sports shit, the nigga AB, dog. Bruh.
It's tough out here, man.
We're going to
pray for AB.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely prayers out for the man AB, yo, because, I mean, you wake up in the morning and you find out you lost 30 mil in one day.
Listen, that man bank account been be taking hits Chewy. For the past 6 months. Let's be real. They ain't God, just for this.
But 30 mil in a day, yo.
Listen, man.
You don't even do that shit on 2K for Listen, real. Listen, I will say damn. This,
man. Like, at the end of the day, you in the good old boy league. And on top of that, we as a culture have to keep in mind and remember, we do not control any aspect of sports in America. No one. There are... The black ownership, the pat on the back from these white owners. And, you know, for me, it's one of those things that's like, yo, your job is to be an athlete and that's it. Like, realistically, I agree with Bron wholeheartedly. Like, you know, shut up and dribble. I'm more than an athlete. Bro, I agree wholeheartedly with you. But at the end of the day, until we start changing our perspective and after our years of playing are over to jump into leadership or ownership, it's not going to change. The man came out, and Sonny backtracked me on everything, but we just talking about currently. Damn. The man was getting fined. They dropped the fine. He apologized. They had their words. And then boom. Next day, man is cut. How?
Well, like they say, man, another person's trash could be another person's treasure, because he ends up with motherfuckers short sleeve hoodie wearing.
Shit. The Pats.
Bill Belichick.
The Pats.
And Bill Belichick. So you looking there. So now you got a squad with AB, Edelman, Josh Gordon, Demaryius Thomas,
and the James White. And the GOAT. Say his name.
Sony Michelle. And the quarterback by the name of Tom Brady.
The GOAT. I ain't going to hold you. The GOAT.
Damn. Like, but, yo, when you say the rich get richer. So, AB, if you fuck this shit up, that shit is crazy. But
let's be real, though. Yo. Will he be AB? Because we also have to keep in mind, like I said,
I just hope something ain't wrong with the man mentally. Because that shit, but still, even,
and
you know, Lord.
Mental health is
mental
key.
Health, that shit is real than a motherfucker.
To the real
boy.
Therapist. Our sisters talk about it all day. Yo, but at the end of the day, even if it's not something mental, if he survives this season out there in Boston, listen, man. That he's done well, but at the end of the day, AB, you gotta learn how to just shut your mouth and do what you do. Like, you don't have to do everything in season or when the season's about to start.
Yeah, his talent. He's definitely
let your talent speak.
Yo, he's all world. He went
under the radar, man. And six round, come on, man.
Yo, six round pick. Now went to this third team in the same year. But, yo, if you AB's dad, though, right?
Mm.
Yo, what is you saying to your son right now? We're not even talking about this recent episode. We could go back week 17 with Pittsburgh and all the shit you saying, going back and forth with Big Ben and Mike Tomlin and that GM into the shit where, like, yo, you really called your GM a cracker.
What am I
saying? And threaten to throw hands with the nigga. Like, yo, like, that shit is fucking unheard of. Now, I don't know what main man said to him according to what the reports are. You know, he was just mad because he got fined. Mm. So, you know, I don't know if he thought he's supposed to get special treatment or what. Or if he saw, you know, the white counterparts do the same shit and not get fined. But he's, you know, the superstar.
Yeah,
and he doesn't get, and he gets the fine. Like, how the fuck does that work, or whatever? But yo, for my man to call your boss a cracker, and then you end up with Belichick, that some people gonna say that's genius. Some people just gonna say that's definitely almighty making sure that he's okay. But like I said, if you AB's father, what, if anything, are you saying to your son?
So I ain't gonna lie, I'm looking at it two ways. The first way I'm looking at it is, you're my son, you tell me something happened, I'm riding with you.
Most definitely.
As your father.
Yeah.
But as a man, and you messing with your livelihood, a business, and your character and your reputation, I'm sitting you down, I'm having a conversation with you on, hey, these are the things that you do, and you keep it inside the locker room. Like, yeah. any athlete will know and say this, even the ones who fuck up, like, yo, I should have kept that in-house. Like, yeah. Son, keep that in the locker room. Don't talk to the media about the negativity. Don't go and curse your boss out. Don't do certain things. Like, those are the things as a father I have to, like, you have to say. Because, I mean, hey, it's a learning experience for him. But at the end of the day, he's a grown man now. Yeah, but if I'm his dad still, his old man.
With his own kids, too.
You know, exactly. Like somebody, and not just a father, not just his actual biological father should be somebody saying something, but any man around him should be like, yo, AB, real talk, I support you, but this is where you're wrong. He don't got nobody that holds him accountable. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to have that accountability partner, because at the end of the day, it's like, yo, let me tell you what Gruden did, or let me tell you what such and such did, and I called him a cracker. And if you sitting there and you like, yo, you called him a cracker, B? Oh, you crazy, nigga. You wild boy. But like, you ain't Satan. Nah.
You got to check him on that.
That's where it's like, yo, AB, change your circle, man. Put his ass back up in the barbershop with LeBron and them. I bet you they tell his ass that. Yeah. I bet you they tell his ass
all that. Those Patriots on Madden gonna be fucking retarded. I mean, we'll be fucking silly on that shit. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, if I was AB's father, I would just kind of like, yo, talk to me, son. Like, what's up, man? Like, understand. Like, you know what I mean? To quote Wesley Snipes, yo, this is bigger than Nino Brown, baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is bigger than you. Like, you try to create that generational wealth for your family.
Yeah.
Don't mess that up.
He's cutting it short.
You cutting it short. Like, this is your last chance. Thankfully, you got another opportunity. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But don't ever think that you above the game.
Here's where,
you know what I'm saying? This is where it's going to be. And like I said, if I feel like he need to get checked out, then, yo, check him out. Because, I mean, these father instincts is, I think if I'm his father, my instincts is kicking in and something ain't right. Like, your behavior is getting extremely erratic.
But here's my question then for you, right? Let's think about this. At what point do you have the conversation? You don't wait till he gets to Oakland and do this.
No, I would have talked to him. I would have done it. No, hell no. I'd have done it.
Would you have done it when? Let's say it when.
I probably would have said the whole week 17 shit.
Absolutely.
I would have said something then just to see what's up, because, I mean, sometimes a change of scenery is needed. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? If you feel you're being disrespected, you feel like you're not being valued like you should go someplace else. But also make sure, just know every conflict, it ain't never 100%. Just the other person.
Do you say something to him about it being going public?
Yeah, a lot of times. Yeah. Don't show dissension in public. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was taught that early in the game. Like, don't show dissension in public, and then don't, like, the whole social, like for example, if I ever got an issue with you, I'm not going on social media and blasting you on it. I ain't gonna say no foul shit to your wife or nothing, and vice versa. My wife not gonna do that shit neither. We gonna chop it up. Conversations. A lot of conflict is a misunderstanding or misinterpretation of what you said, or how, you know what I'm saying, this, that, and the fourth. So I think everybody plays a role into it, but me just going 0 to 100 like that in a sport where you're one hit away. Because if you look at his teammate Ryan Shazier at the time, you know, promising linebacker, you know, part of the whole Steeler linebacker core, university of all that, of all the greats that's come out of there. Now he's learning how to walk again off of one hit. Like, that same shit could happen to him. So you never above the game. You're one play away from your whole career ending. So, I mean,
I look at it like this.
Shit.
Like, and you know, let's be honest, right?
Yo.
What he's doing, he's just basically cutting his bank account off, right? But let's look at it like this. We got another situation. Yeah. We got Carmelo Anthony.
You ain't lying.
Speaking his mind. You got Colin Kaepernick speaking his mind. Yeah. And what do? They blackball you.
Yeah. It's no way Melo should not be on. Yo, free my nigga Melo, yo. It's no way Melo's not on any team, yo. I'm sorry. I don't care. Like, to see the people that's getting picked up and then, oh, man, that shit is fucking crazy.
So, if you're Melo, put yourself in Melo's shoes now. As a man, as a father, how do you deal with knowing you can't help your family eat? Well, he still is helping his family eat. Let's back up. Yeah, you are, as a man now, you set your family up because you did what you love and you held fast to it. But now you've been blackballed because you can't do what you love anymore. Like, emotionally, physically, and mentally, like, how are you stable enough? Or how do you become stable enough?
I mean, physically, I would continue to work out, you know what I'm saying? You know, stay ready, ain't never got to get ready.
Which is he doing? Which he's doing.
Which he's definitely doing. We definitely see. All right, we done seen Beanie Mello. We done seen Teaching Mello. And we done seen all of that. Hoodie Mello. Mentally, I mean, I'm not above talking to nobody. I'm not above talking to somebody about that because, like you said, I've put blood, sweat, and tears into this. I've been through disappointment.
But who do you talk to?
I would have to talk to.
You can't talk to somebody who's never been through it.
I would talk to, you know, my boys that's, you know.
Playing?
No.
You can't.
No, who no. I would hope I have relationships with like former coaches or just people that know me as a player to know what I can offer a team and also know that it's not. I gotta also look at myself in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? I know I contributed somewhat. You know what I'm saying? Maybe the NBA. You know, I don't know. Maybe the NBA is not. I'm not adapting to the NBA as far as the new way they're being played compared to what I came in at, you know, in 2003. However, I know I can ball. Like, that's something that you can't take that from me. So that's where the mental part, I would make sure that I don't begin to lose that. I don't never want to feel like I'm not good enough. You know what I'm saying? And from, like, the emotion, I would just hopefully get a better relationship with Almighty because that's where, like, not when you feel like you're not providing for your fam, that's when you liable to do any fucking thing, shorty. Like, and it's not even.
Well, Melo ain't hurting. I know that.
No,
much.
Hell no. So I mean,
Jordan got him.
He got
a couple other sponsorships and shit going on. So he good.
I mean, he good, but I mean, but. You want to go out on your own terms. You don't want nobody to tell you.
Absolutely.
You can't do something no more. Especially when you see tapes of me bussing
everybody.
Getting fucking busy out here.
Yeah, he...
You know what I'm saying?
So here's the thing for me is like... You got this label on you now and there's no other man who can help you. On top of that, as a black male, when you're dealing with that, as a father, when you're dealing with that, I think for me, when I'm looking at this happen, I'm saying to myself, like, damn, this has to be rough. And an emotional burden for me more so would be like just the struggle every day know I can't get back at it. So if when you know that, it's like, what has to keep you going? You say, yeah, you got to get closer to God, you know, but still at the end of the day, it's still something missing. Like God can get you there. Like I agree wholeheartedly. Like
I would say to that, because all it takes is one team. Only one person out of the whole NBA gotta believe that he could do this. Now if that opportunity come, is he receptive to whatever role he has to play?
So Stephen A. Smith's interview with him was, put me on the team, I will accept any role. His exact words.
Well then if that's the case then you know what I'm saying, then you got
all you need is that one shot. So you continue to practice like you're doing, keep doing these tapes that you're doing, this, that, and the four. Somebody
is gonna pick him up.
Somebody got you.
Listen,
yo. Somebody got
I
you.
I forget yo. Homeboy's name. Royce White, matter of fact. Yeah. Royce White said
oh, yeah,
it
oh,
best.
Yeah, 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 you did, you did.
Yo, LeBron is your man, and he ain't picking you up. They picked up Jared Dudley. Jared Dudley though over Melo.
Oh no, I agree 100%. Jared Dudley definitely the Jared.
No disrespect, Jared, but Jared Dudley gets
40 dropped on him every time. So I agree with what Royce is saying.
Royce White.
However, LeBron is not the GM at the end of the day. Now, of course, we got our own urban theories that state otherwise. Based on how his boys is getting paid and shit.
Listen.
But I would love to see Melo in the NBA with whatever team. I would like him at Brooklyn. That shit would be crazy.
It would be.
That shit would be sick.
If
because
he went to Brooklyn this year, it would be crazy because...
What?
Yeah, that next year would be stupid.
Yeah, with him... If he went to Brooklyn and then next year you got DeAndre Jordan, Kyrie, Melo and KD.
All they need is a two. That's it. It's over.
My God. You know what I'm saying? But definitely prayers to all those players and prayers to everybody on that. But yeah, like I said, fatherhoodproject101@gmail.com. Submit your questions, this, that, and the fourth. But the question, one question that came up, it came from your wife, right? And she said, what's the best piece of advice? What's the best and worst piece of advice you've received as a father?
I'm still working on all that because I feel like sometimes a lot of the advice is personal. It works for you,
The
whether it's good advice or it's bad advice, like it's. I gotta make it work for me. You know what I'm saying? It's like a pair of jeans. You know, I gotta try on these pair of jeans.
Oh, yeah.
And see if these joints fit. You know, I ain't Euro.
Yeah, that inseam will fry you.
I don't do skinny jeans, but I'm not doing the '90s wear. Yeah. And you know, I like my pants a little loose, but I like it fitted. So at the end of the day, for me, it's like when I hear some advice, I'm taking it with a grain of salt. But then at the same time, I'm thinking to myself like, wait a minute. How is this going to work for me as a father?
Right.
How is this going to work for me as a husband? How is this going to work for me as a man? Like, like in all perspectives. And sometimes I might use it, and then I see how it works for me. And even if it works for me, it's like, wait, hold on. Is this something that I'm using to my advantage?
Right.
Or what's this going to play out for my kid in the long run? How is this going to play out in my relationship with other men?
Right.
How is
it going
to play out with my relationship with my wife? Like, that's how I have to think of it. So as of right now, the answer to that question is, man, it's a everyday struggle.
Yeah. I think the best piece I received so far wasn't even about fatherhood. It was basically I learned this back in 2003. You know, shout out 10 Legends. You know what it is, where they said change is the only thing that remains the same. It's change. Those who adapt persevered, those who do not merely fade away. And I say that because you can't parent each kid the same.
Absolutely not.
You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times you get that to where, like, for me, I got Morgan, Reed, Hannah, and JoJo. So I see some shit that Reed will do, and I'm like, yo, Morgan didn't do that dumb shit. Reed, why are you doing that dumb shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? And vice versa, they go down a whole line. You know what I'm saying? But I learned that, with my oldest son, a lot of people don't know this, but my oldest son has ASD, which is autism spectrum disorder. So right now, any kid, any parent that has a child with special needs, listen to this statement right here. That shit is not a death sentence to your child nor to yourself. Is it going to be challenging? Yes. Is it going to reveal the character of yourself as well as people that you thought were your friends and family? Yes, because I had a situation where, you know, I had to really check myself because I remember, because Reed and Hannah, 16 months apart. And someone made the comment, I had Hannah quickly as a way to, not as, I guess, in her, in the way, kind of replace my son Reed, right?
Someone said this to you, B?
Yeah, they said that. Wow. And my response was, bitch! Now, mind you, it was a woman. I apologize. I never, fellas, please don't be calling the women no bitches. But at that moment, Shorty was a bitch. She was a whole whore for real. Now, anybody that know that whole whore for real coming from a Baltimore nigga hit differently than anybody else saying it. But the fact that you had the audacity to say that bullshit, wow. You know what I'm saying? But I've looked at her like I was ready for combat. So that's how I knew I was gone. You know what I'm saying? But that also, I felt the spirit come over me where it was like, Sonny, calm down. You the perfect man for this job.
The audacity, yo.
That's audacity. Like, yo, like to this day, still fuck that bitch. You know what I'm saying? And now I'm in the autism for dad support group and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm one of the main leaders on that shit.
Shout out to you for that.
You know what I'm saying? And I had to realize that God maybe Reed's parent for a reason. You know what I'm saying? And then when I look at the background of it, like, I'm an engineer, but I did 3 years at the league for people with disabilities where the clientele I was working with was kids with the disability of autism.
And this is before you even had Reed.
This is before I had Morgan.
Oh, look at that.
Ain't that some shit? Look at like that like
so God, so basically that's a calling from God because yeah. It's like, yo, this is something you did as a job, a profession, and lo and behold, yeah, your first kid didn't have any disability.
Right.
But your second kid did, and God saw it as, you know what? You did just right by me to take care of these people. So what's going to happen now is, and excuse me for saying these people, but taking care of people with disabilities.
I know
but
what
it's
mean.
Like, you know what? Because you did such a great job, I need for you to take care of one of your own.
Right.
That's realistically
how that's how I had to look at it. Like, but I hated that shit because I hated it in the beginning for the simple fact that.
You hated what in the beginning?
I hated the fact that this was a possibility because we all look at our kids.
I didn't know.
Like Kiana put me on to more symptoms than, you know, because a lot of it was, man, he's just 18 months. He just like, what the fuck? Like, come on.
So let's backtrack for the people. So prior to him even being born, you know how they say, oh, we run the tests.
Yeah.
And there's a chance of.
Oh, yeah, they did that and it was nothing.
It was nothing. Okay, got it. So then we move forward, and that 18 months is when Kiana started telling you
that. She started saying some things, and we started the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
And we was going back and forth. And I think the most frustrating part was everybody was like, well, he does have symptoms of autism, but then he also is just a regular kid.
And for people who, because myself, yeah, I don't know. What are those symptoms look
like? Like, I mean, kind of like asphyxiation on certain things. Okay. Like on one particular thing. Like, he got to have this show at this time, at this particular part. So even if the show is over, he would rewind it back to that particular part.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, or if he's playing with blocks, he's not. He's building them straight up. He's not doing anything else but building straight up, man.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? No eye contact. You know what I'm saying? But it's different levels of the autism. Mm-hmm, so you got one, two, and three.
Yep.
He's autism level one. So he's high functioning. He in the regular classroom and everything like that. But he might not look you out of eye when he speak to you. Or he might, you know, if you ask him a question, he might be like, shit, I don't know. And some of it be like, you know, it could be a lot of people look at him being just a kid, but
shit I don't know part is sound more like Sonny. That don't sound like autism though.
Right. That's what makes it so perplexing because I don't go around telling everybody that, not that I'm ashamed, but I want my son to live his life. I don't want that. Yeah. I mean, the label is going to be there, but whatever. He's still going to be that kid. So for any parent, like I said, that has a child with any type of disability, yeah. whether it's physical or mental. It's not a death sentence for them. It's not a death sentence for you to continue to keep your head up, continue to keep pushing on that. You know what I'm saying?
And let's be also upfront and honest. Like, those labels don't mean that your child or you as an adult can't live your life.
Exactly.
There are people who are highly functioning and you wouldn't even know it if until you had a conversation or they actually told you. So
yeah.
even for parents, like Sonny just said, I would just continue to live life because, yeah. you know, doctors and hospitals will give you a life expectancy on things
yeah.
and tell you how it's going to work. 9 times out of 10, you don't even know that.
But you like if you don't know, you know where your ultimate help come from. It come from the Almighty and shit. So it's going to be some challenges. But I can tell God is working in every which way with all the programs he's been put in, with the way that people gravitate to him, the way that teachers are, the teachers, the IP team, everybody is
love.
Can tell that Reed is still a special kid,
mm-hmm.
despite what label society may try to name it. But fuck that,
yeah.
he's still gonna flourish. Yeah. Why? Because Keanu, the rest of the village that's associated with him,
mm-hmm.
are his biggest advocates. You know what I'm saying? But it's gonna be times where I gotta parent them differently than Morgan and Hannah and JoJo. Not just because that's my oldest son and shit, but he got something that they don't have. You know what I'm saying? So, by me being able to adapt allows me to persevere in this society, because if not, that shit would have ate me alive. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want my wife nor my children to suffer for that. You know what I'm saying? Because that's not, we all know God don't make no mistakes. So and it was a reason.
You make you strong.
Exactly. So I'm trying to be Incredible Hulk with the shit then, if that's the case.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But the worst piece I got was, for me having daughters, to treat them harsher
than your son?
Than my sons. Because by me treating them that way prepares them to be able to submit to a husband.
Was this the same person who told you? Because if it
No. If she'd have told me that, I'd have fucking swung. I'm sorry. I take the charge on that.
Where you getting this advice from, bitch?
Yo, these motherfucking church motherfuckers at that, yo.
Oh, damn.
So when he said that shit to me, that was the dumbest shit. The reason why that's the worst, because first of all, I know that we know the whole scripture about a woman submitting to a man, like a man submit to God, yeah, and all that.
We just heard that shit last week.
But that shit crazy how that shit go tenfold, right? First of all, no, that is the dumbest shit. Fathers, if you got daughters, please do not do that stupid shit, yo.
Please don't.
Do not do that stupid shit, yo. I'm trying to tell you, that shit is going to fucking backfire. And here's why. When we talk about submitting, we're talking about as far as loyalty go, not authority. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So if a woman is submitted to a man because he submitted to God, that's out of more loyalty. That's not because I'm the man.
Yeah.
Fix me a sandwich, bitch. Like, no.
It's never been.
That's just the stupidest shit. So, yo, fellas, yeah. please don't do that shit, yo.
Yeah.
Stop that.
It's never been one time growing up in my household that my father had to even say something like that. Or just, it's just ignorant, yo. Like, for real.
That's the stupidest shit.
Like, women, and first of all, you're only submitting to your husband.
Thank you.
You're not submitting to a man, just any man.
Exactly.
Or a man. Like, so ladies, if you're hearing this, like, you know, we support it fully. Get married, submit to your husband in loyalty and love, but don't just be out here and saying I have to do everything he says and vice versa.
Yeah, please don't. Because what's going to happen is when main man lean on your daughter and she don't tell you, or she accepts that knowing that that's not right,
yeah,
you planted that seed.
And pray on it too. Like at the end of the day,
Jesus Christ.
Pray on it. Because
you ain't lying.
For me, I don't know how I'm going to be. I can't lie. I don't know how I'm going to be with Genesis, but I do know I'm going to be strict on both of them.
You have to.
For her, it's like, that's little baby girl. Like,
of course. I look at Morgan. That's my world, too. Morgan and Hannah the same way.
And there's no way that I'm giving her the game. I'm going to tell her. I ain't going to lie.
I'm telling her.
Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you got a brother. You're going to watch and see him do things. But at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you the game. But I'm going to also let you know, like, hey, you are not doing any of these things until you're married. Like, read the good book. It'll tell you. Read another book that might tell you how people are and men are and all these other things. But whatever you choose, like, you just know, like, when you submit to someone, you're submitting to them because of God. You're not submitting to them because you're submitting because of whatever they have to say or they do.
Right. It's not. Like,
absolutely.
It's never out of authority. It's out of loyalty, man. Yeah. So, but look, man, we definitely going to end it off with this. Wrap it up, B. Then it hit the music on us and all that shit. Kids is crying upstairs.
All that shit.
So, as always, thanks for checking us out. Fatherhoodproject101@gmail.com.
Send us your feedback, questions, and suggestions.
Episode 2. We out of here. Until next time. Peace, everybody. Peace.